Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Here, Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm a little confused at this debate that the internet is having over Cardi B's $60,000 Hermes purse. Now, if you don't know anything about handbags, Hermes is like the best that you can get. I mean, I know like the super richy rich people probably know about the quiet luxury brands that us normies wouldn't know about. But as far as I can tell from like an average fashion girly, it doesn't get better than an Hermes Birkin or a Kelly or a mini Kelly.
The Birkin bag is like I think Sex and the City back in the day when Samantha's character was getting it for Lucy Liu, and it was like, it just became commonplace for all of us to know, like, that's the pinnacle designer handbag that cost a ridiculous amount of money.
Help me out here. What is it doing? What is it doing for $60,000 besides making you feel a certain way, which probably, what is it doing?
It's iconic. Grace Kelly had one. That's why one of the purses was named after her. Jane Birkin made the Birkin bag famous. So it's just like a staple, iconic piece that probably costs $1,000 to make. But there's so much invested in the brand that people are willing to spend XYZ amount of dollars to get one.
Also, you can't just walk in off the street, even if you had the cash, and buy one. You have to like be an Hermes customer and have bought other things over the years. And then you can't even just walk in and be like, I want a black one with gold hardware. You have to take whatever they give you. I think it is the stupidest thing on the planet. But I respect that as some people's bag. So go for it.
So I just Googled it really quick. While the retail price of a Birkin bag can range from $10,000 to over $2 million, the cost to manufacture a basic Birkin is estimated to be around $800.
Come on.
It's infuriating.
And you said you pay all that money, you can't even pick what color you want?
No, not sometimes you can't.
It's crazy, right?
That's insane.
See, I think it goes deeper here. I mean, this is just my opinion, but I think when people wear stuff like this, or they're carrying it around, or you're showing your label like that, there is like some kind of psychology of me wanting to show you that I am better than you financially.
See, so I have a designer bag, and if you want to think that about me, that's fine. But I know for me, when I reached a milestone in my career, I carry that bag. And to me, it's a sign of all my hard work. And I bought that for myself as a congratulatory gift.
You know what you can carry in that bag?
What?
You're crazy!
But I think to a certain extent, like when you have a net worth like Cardi B, $60,000 is nothing. And that's why I don't understand where this debate is coming from. So the internet is shocked at how Cardi B is reacting to her daughter culture, drawing a little Sharpie heart on her $60,000 Hermes purse.
literally spent $60,000 on this purse. Look what my daughter did to my purse. Look what my daughter did to my purse. Look what my daughter did to my purse. Look.
Now she's Cardi B. I have a feeling if she called up Hermes, they would figure out a way to fix it. But the internet is now divided. Like, some people are like, well, this is why you don't spend $60,000 on a purse. And some people are like, well, it's her daughter. And now it has even more character because, again, she's not just a random person with a Birkin. Like, this is Cardi B's daughter putting a little artwork on the purse.
No, I saw this and, like, mother to mother. I would.
Daughter gotta go.
Oh, your daughter's gotta go. Bye. Because it's like it's like a ballpoint pen, and it's like this blue heart that's at the top of this yellow like alligator print whatever Birkin bag, and you know, yeah, it's I'll say it's slightly insane to have like a $60,000 bag.
Slightly.
But That's hey, it's her money. It's how she chooses to spend it. And regardless of what the cost is, I know some people are coming down on her like, well, that's what you get for having. No, man, like kids ruin stuff. And even you still have every right as a parent to be frustrated.
I just assumed if you have enough money to buy a $60,000 bag, you have enough money to replace the $60,000 bag with another $60,000 bag.
You can still be mad at your kid in the process, though.
The internet says she's worth $80 million, so
she's doing just fine.
She'll be all right.
Here, Burt Show.
We are opening up the Burt Show Book of Records. How much damage did your kid do to an item or your house? How much? 1-855-BURT-SHOW. If it was Cardi B calling, it would be $60,000.
Literally spent $60,000 on this purse. Look what my daughter did to my purse. Look what my daughter did to my purse. Look what my daughter did to my purse. Look.
That mama sigh.
She's holding back the anger.
I'm trying to keep it together. Yeah. I'm trying to keep it together. Tamisha, good morning. You were on the Burt Show. How much damage are we talking about?
Good morning. So my super large 80-inch Sony Ultra High Def, all the bells and whistles TV.
Nope.
My son broke it.
Oh, no.
It
nope.
was like,
oh, no.
Close to $5,000.
Oh my god!
How? How did he break it?
A $5,000 TV. Those things are kind of cheap now. What came with that?
This was like maybe a few years ago, like maybe about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh. I just have a question for Tamisha. Do you keep in touch with your son with his new adopted family?
Right. It's the TV one that hurts us most, right? Danielle, we have opened up the Burt Show's Book of Records: the most damage done by your kid. What do you got?
Well, it wasn't my kid. It was me as a child. My parents just bought one of those cargo asteroid vans, like the travel.
Uh-huh.
I grabbed a rock, and I just put a little design on it from tip to back.
You scratched the entire van?
Oh,
from
the entire van.
Oh my God.
I'm just curious, what design did you go with from the front bumper all the way to the back bumper?
You know, some like squiggly lines, six circles.
And why?
Because you're how old?
I don't know. I've been told this story multiple times. Pretty much my aunt had to save my life from my dad. Ran me into the house.
Oh, I bet. How old were you at the time?
I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you have any idea how much it cost them to fix, or did they just leave it be?
They left it be.
Oh, my God.
It's a racing strike. Yeah, man. Hey, Aaron, good morning. How much damage did your kid do to this item?
So when my daughter was 8, you know how little girls like to take things and pretend they're batons and things like that?
Uh-huh.
Well, she was outside with a big limb that had fallen from a tree. And she threw it up in the air, and it hit my back windshield. And it just shattered all in my car.
Oh, no.
And it cost me, because it had defrosting in it, it cost me about $800 to
$1,000. Oh, no.
And I bet you still find glass in that car, because you can never, ever get all of that out.
You can't. It was awful. It was the worst experience. And I was like, trying not to be mad, but I was like, girl.
Pushing me to my limits.
Yeah. I think we're all going to learn that you should just take all the Sharpies out of the house. Good morning, Tyler. You're on the Burt Show.
Yeah. So the day we closed on our $300,000 house, our kids decided to draw all over our $2,500 refrigerator and all of the cabinets in our kitchen with a Sharpie.
How old were they?
So he was 3 at the time, and my wife is still so upset about it. She was able to get it off, thankfully, but she's still so upset. She called me while I'm at work and was like, you need to call the Burt Show.
And how old are the kids now?
The middle one is 5. So we got 10, 5, and 10 months. So I'm sure we're going to have to go through it again yourself.
Okay. So this one's still a little fresh. Yeah. Just a couple years ago.
And it was before you even got into the house, or was like your first day in the house?
We closed on it about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we were in the process of moving everything into the U-Haul, like from the U-Haul.
Oh my God. Welcome home.
Thank you, Tyler, and thank you, Tyler's wife, for calling. Appreciate you.
Yep.
Bye now. Just as you think it couldn't get any worse, good morning, Amanda. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning.
Hey there. What kind of damage are we talking about?
So last spring, my sweet mom was in town, and in the morning, dropping my son off at school in the middle school parking lot, she totaled my car.
Oh, damn.
She hit a light pole. There are now, like, barriers up to it that we say are, like, in her honor so it doesn't happen anymore. Went through the whole day getting the car, that situation taken care of, came home a few hours later and was like, what's that sound? She had plugged up the sink in my bathroom and flooded my house. So she totaled my car and did like hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage to our house in the same day.
I love how the child has reverted
into the parent.
Yes. Calling out the parent instead of the parent calling out the child.
She just wanted to get that off one way or another.
It literally is not what we asked for. She's like, I'm calling my mama out. She's going to pay for what she did on the radio.
I'm telling somebody.
Good morning, Rachel. You are on The Burt Show.
So when me and my siblings were younger, we decided to help my mom out and thought we'd wash her van. And we would use sponges that already have soap loaded in them. Those sponges were Brillo pads.
If you're not familiar with
the Brillo pad, Abby, it's like this really scratchy, metally, like, sponge that you scrape pans with.
Yeah. Oh, like sheep's wool?
Yes.
So they scraped the entire car down.
Entire van from, like...
She ain't miss a spot, huh?
No. Very, very thorough. At least I get points for that.
It's The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Why would you ever even consider naming your kid after your mom's cheating ex? We will ask Michelle that because she wants your advice in just a second. I want you to check out the videos today from The Burt Show because, again, Kristen's forehead is a beautiful, beautiful, wrinkle-less billboard.
Smooth as a baby bottom.
Smooth, man.
Yeah, I get a Daxxify, which is a neurotoxin injectable at Atlanta Face and Body with Dr. Elizabeth Whitaker. Ding! And Bert had been commenting on how pristine and beautifully smooth my forehead is. So I'm like,
it was distracting.
It was, yeah.
It was so beautiful. Totally it was distracting.
And so I was like, all right, well, then let's sell advertisement on it since, you know, it's such a beaut. And that's what we have been doing this week. We kicked it off Monday. And today we have our third advertiser who has rented space on my forehead. And the money all going to Bert's Big Adventure. It's kind of ridiculous what I will do for the kids. So for $1,000 to Bert's Big Adventure, I am sporting Oak Tree Camps on my forehead. As they like to say, don't lose your head over summer plans. Send them to camp. Oak Tree Camps. And they have a special offer for our Bert Show listeners. So if you go to oaktreecamps.com/Kristen, use the code Kristen at checkout. They'll save you some money on registration now through May 31st.
You know what I was just thinking as you were telling and giving all these details? If a salesperson would have come to us and said, look, Atlanta Face and Body wants to advertise, but they don't want to do it in an obvious way.
Right.
They just want to do, we have to do something organic or cryptic. Would you guys mind putting a billboard on Kristen's forehead? We would have laughed them out of the studio. We just said, what a ridiculous idea. Fire this person.
Yeah. No, it's only a good idea if it's my idea. Because it's my face. Right. But somebody did bring up a good point after everything is said and done. I will be scheduling a facial at Atlanta Face and Body because my forehead pores are going to need it after this week. That's
fair. All of us in studio, you weren't here yesterday, Mo, but we're like, we're all going. Because if it can look like your forehead. These ones on the side, man, I can't get these things to go away.
She'll take care of it.
All right. I know she will. Look at that. I'm just going to go in there and say, I want the Kristen.
Give me the Kristen. Let's do a group sesh. We all want the Kristen.
All right, Michelle. So why? Why in the world would you even consider naming your baby after your mom's cheating ex?
Oh, hey, guys. So, yeah, I'm pregnant.
Congrats.
Thank you. I'm having my baby this year, and the only name that me and my husband can agree on, really, is the name Dean, which is my mom. We were very excited about it, and then my mom was like, you can't do that. I was like, well, why? She was like, because I had an ex-fiance who cheated on me. And I was like, oh, no. I don't know how. I don't know if I should just. Well, there's actually two parts. So the other issue I'm having with this baby name is my father-in-law had passed away last year. And we decided we were going to name the baby after him. And we told his entire family and everything. And now that I think about it, I don't like the name. The name's Mark. I don't like the name Mark. I cannot name my baby Mark. I don't know how to tell his mother. His mother like cries, tearing up, talking about it. She said she had a dream of us having the baby and it was Mark and it was just the most beautiful thing. And I don't know how to tell her. I don't know if I do it before the baby's born, just wait and just say, hey guys, surprise. I don't know what to do.
Michelle, I know this is a day late, dollar short, but this is why. This is why you never share the baby name with people because they are going to poo-poo all over it.
Yeah, I'm learning now. I just now don't know what to do. Like, do I wait till the baby's born? Do I give him a heads up?
Okay.
What do I do?
So to clarify, Mark is off the table. Even though you told the family that it was going to be named Mark, you're now not going to do that, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. When they meet the baby, that's when you can tell everybody what the official name is. No need to tell them beforehand. So that's a different issue.
Actually, now, if I can jump in real quick, she's probably going to get monogram stuff. So that says Mark from the family.
Yeah. Oh, you will.
I feel like a heads up is important.
Damn. Yeah. Sister is like they're from Portugal. She's Portuguese. She, you know, speaks Portuguese. And they always hand make stuff for the babies.
Cassie is 1,000% right. They're going to monogram and they're going to put Mark on everything. So you need to let them know that that's not the case anymore.
Or you could just name your kid Mark. Yeah. We're in too deep.
Or maybe just the Mark can be the middle name. Whatever you said. But that's neither here nor there. What we have to discuss is, all right, do you or do you not name the baby Dean, which is your mother's cheating ex-fiance?
Mo, what do you do?
I would lead with honesty in this one. This is my baby's name. I'm not naming my baby based off of anybody else's circumstances or expectations. This is something that I would want to be proud of and happy of, and it's my baby. At the end of the day, everyone would have to live with that. So I would name my baby what I wanted, and everybody would have to deal with it.
My knee-jerk reaction was just that the mom should get over it. Like, she is trying to make this about herself, and it doesn't need to be, because you didn't know that your mom had a cheating ex and his name was Dean. Otherwise, you probably would have been turned off by the name to begin with, but you guys both really love this name. And so then I put myself in your shoes, and I remember that my mom did have a fiance before she met my dad. And if I were to somehow decide to have children and decide to name that baby her ex-fiance's name, I think it'd be weird. I do think it'd be weird. Like, if you really put yourself in her shoes, I do think it's a little odd.
Gosh, I'm with Abby. Yeah, I mean, because they're going to be looking at that baby and have that thought every single time. I don't mean to insult your mom. I don't know anything about her. The ask seems a little narcissistic to me.
A little.
However, if we're really being honest with each other, I think I'm with Abby. It would be weird.
I think unless Dean had some kind of sentimentality that overrode the history of Dean, I think that'd be different. Because then every time you think of Dean, you think of, like, I don't know, Jimmy Dean sausages or something. And that's like the meaning behind this name. Whereas if it's just one you like, I feel like there's got to be another name that you two can both gel with.
I think most people, if you threw any name out at all, have a positive and a negative reaction based on that name with somebody in your past.
Yeah.
Right? It would trigger somebody.
Yeah. So I don't know what you're looking for there, but I sort of understand where Abby's coming from, and I get what your mom's saying.
Yeah, Michelle, every time Gigi looks at your baby Dean, do you want her thinking of her cheating ex-fiance?
Yeah, that's my problem.
Yeah. My mama would have to figure it out.
Yeah.
You're like, this is Dean, whether you like it or not.
1,000%.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
We didn't help you at all, girl. I'm sorry. We just made it worse.
Still in that remorse thing, like, I wish I wouldn't have called and been told that. That's not what I was looking for, right?
You're on The Burt Show.
I'll be totally honest with you. I do think this show is pretty bad about celebrating itself and the times that it should be celebrated, right?
I don't know why it's like your knee-jerk reaction to shrink instead of shine.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure why, but I'm not letting this one go. Because Kristen yesterday found out on the show, Cassie surprised us all, that...
Best surprise ever. So well executed, Cassandra.
And I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but I didn't want it to pass because this is a huge honor. And the way that Cassie delivered it yesterday was amazing.
Someone on this show has said something that is so blatantly false about someone else on the show. I am here with receipts, and I am going to deliver justice in a way that will rock their world. Katie, roll the receipts!
Kristen, would you like to represent the people that have TV as a hobby and aren't successful?
I'd like to think I'm somewhat successful.
Well, maybe if you stop watching TV, you'd finally get a Gracie.
Oh!
And I felt so bad about it immediately after. Like, my face just went immediately red. Like, I know that was a good joke, but that was harsh.
So tell people what the Gracie is.
Gracie's like one of the biggest awards a woman in radio can get.
It's kind of like winning an Oscar, but for radio.
Yeah, for women.
Abby needs to eat her words.
What?
Hey, Kristen.
You have won a Gracie!
What?
You
what a day! I knew nothing about this. What?
Yeah. No, hold on a second. I actually won one.
I submitted you for a nationally syndicated co-host.
Cassie.
And you won.
No.
And I would like to read the letter that I wrote about you.
Congratulations!
I've wanted this for such a long time.
I know you have.
Here's what I wrote to the Gracies Committee.
Oh my God.
Along with sending some of your breaks from this past year. I said, Kristen Klingshern is the co-host of the nationally syndicated morning show, The Burt Show. And while Kristen was initially hired to bring an extra dose of funny to the show, which she more than accomplished, she brought something else. A willingness to expose the vulnerabilities that most women bury deep for fear of judgment and societal pressure. To be a woman is a blessing and a struggle. To be a woman on a public platform like national radio and be willing to lay yourself out there so that other women don't feel so alone, that's above and beyond. Congratulations, Kristen.
That's awesome.
Oh, gosh, I'm a hot
mess. No, you should be. You don't even know how hot a mess you look right now. You really have no idea.
But congratulations on winning nationally syndicated co-host.
Deserve. Overdue. Congrats.
Thank you.
We are so proud of you, man.
Thank you. That's really, really awesome. Still am just over here like, man, because this is, there, you know, there's certain achievements and there's goals, whether you vocalize them or you just have them in the not even in the back of your head. It could be in the forefront of your head. And I mean, we've joked about this years, and I think that's how I cope with the fact that I was like, I'm never going to win one of these. Like, you know, the show has been so kind as to submit me before for Gracie's, and it didn't pan out for whatever reason. And I was like, you know what? I just kind of had resigned the fact that I'm not going to get one, and that's okay.
We had been resigned.
But
to that
I
fact
did!
And you guys have been very, very nice on social also about it.
Oh, so nice. Georgia Girl Loving Life says, congratulations, Kristen. I feel like I've been doing life with you virtually all of these years because all that you have shared. So many laughs, so many tears, both joy and sadness. So much relevance in our everyday lives and all that you have shared over these years. Big congratulations and so much love from South Georgia. What an impact you have had on so many lives, especially for all women. You rock it all.
Thank you.
Leanne Martin says, being born in the same year as Kristen and a baddie myself, I totally connect with Kristen on so many levels. She's a big part of my day, and I can't imagine the show without her. Fifi Handy says, congratulations, Kristen. Anyone who has ever engaged with or experienced your humor or humanness knows this is well deserved.
Shout out to Fifi and Paige Turner's Make Great Learners. She has a wonderful organization that promotes literacy and helps kids get books in their hands.
See, that's why she's got the grace.
And
my favorite, I mean, there are so many comments, but people started marking where they were from, which was really cool. Amelia Holicky, I listen to y'all on Spotify from Central Oregon every day. Love your show. So excited for Kristen. Congrats. CR Rain, congrats, Kristen, on behalf of all of your Canadian listeners. Well deserved.
You know how much that makes me giddy.
Elaine Grant.
It literally is the only thing they like about America now, is your grace.
Yeah. I mean, they go on. Congrats, KK. Been listening since your first day on G105 in Raleigh. Raquel Woodard, congrats from Lexington, Kentucky. Bodil Anderson, congrats from Denmark. And they put Europe in parentheses for us dumb Americans who didn't know where that was.
That's so wild.
They are pouring in.
I love it. So thank you so much. And again, Cassie, God, the best hype woman. This is what female friendship should look like. So thank you so much for the nomination. This is just, man, what a Women's History Month this has been. This is freaking awesome.
Is there a Gracie for nominating the person that nominated you for the Gracie?
There should be.
Y'all are sweet. All I did was turn the spotlight to shine on Kristen's work. She did this all herself. I just kind of like took a highlighter and was like, look over here.
Proud of both of you guys.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We kind of saw the signs and might have seen this coming, but it looks like Sydney Sweeney might have put the final nail in her relationship coffin. But before we get into that, I was talking to Mo earlier about this guy who has gone like crazy, crazy viral on Twitter for his insane morning routine. This is a guy named Ashton Hall who has like hundreds of millions of views on his morning routines, mainly because people are roasting him for it. So his day starts up at like 3 a.m. every day where he takes bottled Saratoga water, Saratoga Springs water, and he pours it in a little ice bucket and then he puts his face in it. And then he does all of these stage things to make it look like he's doing all these incredible things. And maybe
writing
he
in
is.
The journal, he on the first page
he on the
of
first
the journal.
Page.
All kind of stuff that you can, he's just being an influencer. He's probably not really doing any of this in the morning, but he made it seem like he has this really grand routine of things that he does every day.
Okay,
and
now
he's
makes
ripped and he's pulling it off
super
well.
Ripped.
Now it makes some sense to me because you know Trevor Wallace, the influencer and comedian, also did a video like this yesterday. I couldn't figure out why, but he was pouring like vodka into it at 4 in the morning. Now it's all making sense.
And literally the influencer, Ashton, had a banana post-workout and then rubbed the banana peel on his face. I mean, it looks like a parody because that's how staged it feels, but people are coming after him in the comments. It's hysterical.
Is it satirical or is he being sincere?
No, he's serious.
He's
sincere. And they even went as far as like, they're like, bro, there's one part when he's jumping into the water and apparently he was in the air for like 6 minutes and like before he actually landed in the pool. This is how ridiculous it is. But so many people have gone out their way to make fun of him that has led to him getting like hundreds of millions of views. And now he's laughing all the way to the bank. It's working for him. Then he makes a video saying, everybody's copying me, but I'm a leader, so I'm trying not to get offended by the fact that so many people are stealing my style. And then somebody tweeted, like, who's going to tell him that we're making fun of him?
Right.
But it's working for him in the end.
It's working for him. Okay, back to Sydney Sweeney, because what she's posted on social media has everything to do with something she deleted. So a while back, she'd done like a 2024 recap where, you know, the girlies post all the things they've done in the last year, and it's photos of her on a boat with her friends, she's on vacation, and here's her on a movie shoot. Well, whoever is keeping up with her Instagram noticed that she deleted a photo from one of her Instagram carousels. So it's like that's when you post multiple photos of her and her fiance kissing. She took it out of the carousel. And because she's already postponed the wedding and she is allegedly moved into the Beverly Hills Hotel, people think this might be the end. So all I'm saying is, gentlemen, start your engines and get into those DMs while she's going to be single for the next couple of minutes.
Oh, removing that one photo from the carousel, that is as telling can be.
Because there's no reason to do it other than the fact that you guys are splitting up. Mm-hmm. But then my question is, why not just say that you're canceling the wedding? Why are you now saying you're pushing off the wedding? Because that was her
PR stunts, man. It gets you to talk about it and speculate on it more.
And now we're
I assume when somebody says that they're pushing it off, that means it's going to be, or we're going to get a follow-up that it's canceled.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's normally the gateway to just canceling it all at all?
That's the way I kind of feel about it, yeah.
I mean, that's what happened with you.
Right. maybe this is autobiographical.
I mean, from personal experience. Yeah, well,
I didn't put it together either.
I was like, you know, you did that like three times.
Yeah, now that I think about it, yeah. That might hold some truth.
I mean, God bless you. You're like, save this date. And we, like, Molly and I save the date. And then we get like a month out. And he's like, nope, save this date. And then we like, save this date. And we get like a month out. He's like, no, well, save this date.
I think I proved my point.
Yeah, you did.
All right, Leonardo DiCaprio's hot 26-year-old girlfriend is talking about some of the frustrations and the plights that she has as the girlfriend of a multi-million dollar A-list actor. So this is Italian model Victoria Carrera. Ready, and she is saying that she hates the label of being labeled as somebody's girlfriend. She said in a Vogue France interview that one of the challenges of dating someone who's so high profile is that they constantly refer to her as so-and-so's girlfriend or so-and-so's ex. And I'm like, listen, you are the one girlfriend from Leonardo DiCaprio who made it past 25. He didn't dump you once your frontal lobe developed. This is like, this is an accomplishment. Whether you're going to be called his girlfriend or not, you should feel good about yourself.
I do not feel sorry for you. You know what you're getting yourself into.
Sorry, not sorry. He is one of the biggest actors in the world. You are going to be referred to as Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriend. Go sit on his yacht, sip your $1 million champagne, and be okay with that.
Right.
Millions of girls would want that position.
What you said about it. I love Gary Vee every day because he reminds us, man, forget about what people are saying. High school is over. Yeah. It shouldn't matter. Live your life.
It's irrelevant.
All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Here, Burt Show.
It can get confusing. Dating terms now, I mean, they change, I think, with each generation. And our intern, Sadie, here is struggling with one statement that a dude said that she doesn't quite understand.
Yeah, so over spring break, I went on a successful Hinge date. I know that's an odd term for Abby and I.
I didn't know those existed.
Yeah, me neither.
What makes it successful in your eyes?
I wanted to go on another one.
There you go.
that counts for something. So we went, we like got breakfast. It was supposed to be like something quick.
Ooh,
we
a breakfast ended up, date.
I know, a little brunch breakfast. And we spent like all day together. Like it just, we hit it off. It went well.
Does the breakfast date, that's the first date, was the breakfast date, brunch idea?
Yeah.
Where does that fall on the scale of like, I'm really into you? Because I always felt like the lunch date was the pay slap. Like, I don't want to spend too much time on you. There's also an out if it's not going well because I only have an hour for lunch during the week. So where does the first brunch date fall in there?
I think brunch is objectively sexier than lunch.
For sure.
Because typically brunch will involve like a cocktail, maybe a mimosa or two. I'm actually surprised at how many times I've been asked out to brunch. Like, the men love a good brunch.
Well, and that's also, I think, an Atlanta thing because brunch is like an Olympic sport in Atlanta.
Everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
We take our brunch very seriously. So I think to dedicate a Saturday or a Sunday, because you're dedicating some prime weekend time, and like Abby said, because there's typically a cocktail involved, whether it's a Bloody Mary or a mimosa, that is a top tier date right there.
Yeah, and it feels better too, because like if you waste a Friday or Saturday night on a date, then you don't, like, you feel bad about it later. But if you just like wasted a Friday morning, Saturday morning, it's not as terrible.
Uh-huh.
You know, you still got your night. But it went great. We spent all day together, hung out, talked, went on a few more dates over spring break, like hung out the next week. And then one of our most recent dates, I was showing him something on my phone and I still had the Hinge app on my phone. Like, I wasn't using it because I'm just not like one of those people that can get to know multiple people at one time. Uh-huh. So he saw it and like leaned over, held it down, clicked delete, and went, "You don't need that."
Dang, taking control.
Wow. Yeah. That's kind of hot.
I know.
Well, it's hot if you're into him. Yeah. It's annoying if you're about to dump this
Bingo.
Guy.
It's controlling and manipulative and aggressive.
What, in the moment, was it hot or was it off-putting?
No, it was super hot.
Oh.
You didn't even need a second.
No. But ever since he deleted my Hinge, he's been saying like, "Oh, I'm locked in. I'm locked in." I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, no one's ever really said that to me before. And it's still too soon to like bring up the boyfriend girlfriend thing. I don't think that's appropriate like 2 weeks in. But like, are we dating? Are we talking? Are we exclusive? Like, what does locked in mean to y'all?
Go ahead.
I would imagine that it means y'all are heading towards exclusivity. Uh-huh. Like, he's telling you you are the one right now and that he's not concerned with all the other players.
I think the boomers would call this going steady.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the equivalent of him giving you his Letterman jacket in class ring. And you guys are going to sing Grease Lightning after school.
Yeah, he's saying he's locked in on you. That's it, man. I mean, you're it.
Yeah.
I think that you take it for face value. He's locked in, meaning he is not seeing anybody else.
Yeah. And I mean, I could, like a grown adult woman, just like ask him, but I much prefer overthinking it for 2 weeks and bringing it on air to ask you guys.
That makes some sense.
Yeah.
When he tells you he's locked in, like, how do you respond?
I'm just like, same, I guess. And then in my head, I'm like, ditto. I got to ask them tomorrow what that means.
Okay. I think it's a very good sign. I think you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, things are getting serious. We're going to Bucky's on Friday.
Whoa! So. Whoa, all right.
Yeah.
Wait,
We're basically married. So.
He's taking you 45 miles out of Atlanta to the middle of nowhere.
Actually, I'm taking him to Buc-ee's. He's never been.
Oh, yeah. So you were the one that propositioned him about going to Buc-ee's.
Oh, yeah. And he's been doing his research. He knows to get the beaver nuggets. He knows to get the brisket. He's been watching videos of people eating Buc-ee's food. He's ready.
Tommy's locked in.
Tommy's ready to get locked in third wheel.
Tommy can sit in the back seat.
When you suggest to a guy that he should get the beaver nuggets.
Oh, come on. Don't make it ugly.
I'm just saying, if he's never been there, he don't know what that means.
Things that sound dirty are.
This is The Burt Show.
I am really struggling with a statistic that I read this morning because I'm kind of old school here and I hear my dad in my head also. And I'm trying to reframe reality now for the younger generation that is depending on their parents more now after they graduate. So here's the stat. 50% of parents now with adult kids now provide financial support. This is a big old report that came out this morning. Parents are shelling out about an average of almost $1,500 monthly.
A month
to assist young adults with their expenses, stuff like healthcare and rent and education. And it's reflecting the financial challenges that are being faced by Gen Z and millennials now. And I'm so stuck in my head about this that I've maintained my whole life, sort of my dad's. Well, there was never an option for me to go back home. I was sort of kicked out of my house, but they were paying my rent. I mean, was I really kicked out? They kicked me out of the house, but they said they were going to be paying for my rent at school. And at first I was so offended they were kicking me out. And then I thought about it. I'm like, this is awesome. I don't have to be at home with my dad and my mom, and they're paying for my rent. But there was never an option in my head that if I was struggling, that it was comfortable enough to go home and ask my parents to take care of me. In college and when I left college also, it would have been such a disappointment to my dad that I was still asking for help after college or during college that it just wasn't a possibility for me. So as my kids are growing up now, and I've got one that's on the cusp of graduating college here in just a couple of weeks, you don't have anything lined up right now. I'm really trying to get my dad's mentality out of my head that it won't be disappointing if we have to help out here a little bit. I'm a big fan of grit and trying to figure out things by yourself, but things have just changed, I think, or have they? Or does every generation say this?
I mean, from what you're saying, it doesn't sound like your situation is that much different than like what I experienced when I went to college. Like my parents paid my rent when I went to college, which I'm really, really grateful for. And at the same time, like they didn't really allow me to go back home, but they said, if this is what you need for 6 months, you know, you get 6 months at home, but then you've still got to go. So
they were putting like a deadline on it. Like, hey, we're going to be disappointed, but you got 6 months and we're going to help you get on your feet and then you're out of here.
It was it was more of an unspoken thing. Like your dad is really sick of you living here. I'll be like, okay, I'll figure it out. Because I was just trying to ride it out as long as possible. Because I knew once I left, I wouldn't go back. And then I did go back. I think it's just one of those things that if your parents are in a financial position where they can and they love you, I don't understand why they wouldn't to an extent.
Well, those are two different things.
Yeah.
So I wanted to really delve into the article that you pulled from NBC News. Because, I mean, obviously, there's a reason why this number is so high. Like one in three adults ages 18 to 34 live in their parents' home.
What was it like? Well, I wonder what that statistic was 20 years ago. Did it say that in the article?
So that's what I'm trying to like get to like. So, you know, I'm a fan of the question why. And so from this article, and they have hyperlinks over to, in addition to soaring everyday expenses, housing costs, millennials and Gen Z face other financial challenges that their parents did not at that age. So if you want to crunch the numbers, it is more expensive for Gen Z and millennials. So you can't, it's not a fair comparison to like in my day, because in your day, the costs weren't the same.
Right. 1-855-BIRCHO if you want to get in on this.
Yeah, you can't afford an apartment in the United States on minimum wage. And unfortunately, costs have skyrocketed, but paychecks have not done the same thing. And I also think there's such a stigma in the U.S. around getting, I think there's a different conversation between getting help, financial help from your parents and living with them, when cultures all around the world have multi-generations in the same home and it's totally normal. But things are just more expensive now. Millennials can't afford homes because the prices, I mean, I look at some houses and I'm like, how is this
million-dollar house. Like, it's not even built properly. But things are just... people cannot afford to exist.
I think times are definitely different today. I was just talking to my parents about this, and I was raised more like you, Bert, in that when I hit 17, it was like, you got to go out there and figure it out. Uh-huh. They helped me when I really needed it, but for the most part, it was like you were on your own. But with my sisters, who are 10 years younger than me, it was different for them. It was a lot different, and I think some of that is because my parents were doing a little better at that time, and they could help more. But I also think another part of that is like when you look at what you have to pay for an apartment now, when you look at what you have to pay to really just get yourself together, it's vastly different than it was when my parents were having to do it.
Yeah, it's not fair for me on one hand to think that because of the cost of living now and the amount of rent, that I am fairly certain he is not getting a job that is going to be paying him over $75,000 acting as soon as he gets out of SCAD. That is not going to happen, right? So he's going to need some help. Now, he can get odd jobs until he gets more gigs, but until that happens, how much support do we give him? And I've got to lose this attitude. Like, I've taught him about grit his entire life, and if he can't take care of himself after college, then it's a disappointment. I have to shake that.
I think you can tell, too, like, as a parent, you know your kid best. As a good parent, you know your kid best, because there is a difference there. And you can look at your child and know, and by child, I mean adult child, and know they're trying their best. Like, they're out there, they're working, they're hustling, they're grinding, but they're still needing help to make ends meet. And as a parent, if you can, then you step in. Now, if you take a step back and you look at your child and they're just mooching off you and they're living at home and they're playing video games day in and day out in the basement and they're not getting out there looking for a job, I think it's a case-by-case basis. But as a good parent, you can take a step back and be like, this child deserves my help. This child needs to be nudged more to take more control of their financial stability.
Here's Tammy. Hey, Tammy, good morning. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Good morning. Love the morning show. Love you guys.
Thank you.
My son is 24. He didn't go to college, but he does work full-time and works at a church on Sundays part-time. So he makes okay money, but he can't afford to live on his own. He pays us $400 a month in rent. He pays his car note, car insurance, cell phone. And if I cook dinner, he can have what I'm cooking, but normally he buys his own little bit of groceries. But rent is too expensive. I was out at 18. There is no way, unless he has four roommates, is he going to afford a house or an apartment around here for rent.
Yeah, that's
I live in Covington.
Yeah, yeah. And that's sort of the exact same situation I was in college and right after college also when I dropped out. I had to live with four guys, but that's what we did. You know,
that's what I did as well.
Yeah. So that wasn't even a built-in excuse for us back in the day. Like, if you had to live with eight guys, you lived with eight guys. But it's different now. Hey, Rhonda, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm old school. Like, I'm 64 years old, and I'm still working at a school. I'm making no money. But I live in Noonan, Georgia, and it's growing so fast, my taxes were off the chain. But a one-bedroom apartment is $2,000.
Oh, my God.
It's money,
that's the lowest you can get, even for any little thing. It's ridiculous. And my son's 21. And he works full time, and he does his best, but he's very shy. He don't have a lot of friends. His dad wants him out. I want him to stay in. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, and I think you raise a really good. I think you raise a good point. I think Kristen did also, is that they got to show effort.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. If you're going to struggle, it's because you're out there looking for a job, or you do have a full time job, and you just can't make ends meet. But you are not staying in the house, and you are not playing video games, and you're not hanging out with all your friends online, and not doing anything.
Yeah, you can differentiate between effort and lazy. And if your child is showing effort, hopefully you have the means where you can help them out until they can get solidly on their own two feet.
We have a producer here, Amber, still living with her dad.
Yes, I'm in my 30s, and I live at home. I mean, I survived Los Angeles for like 10 years. It was really hard. It's hard to save up because everything is so expensive. When I was a property manager in LA, for a studio apartment, we were looking at $1,300. And parking was not included. Wi-Fi was not included. Everything was separate. It was insane. I came back home expecting maybe a little easier. It is not. But luckily for me, my father understands. He's a bankruptcy attorney, so he knows how much things cost. So he didn't give me too much hard enough about that. So yeah, it's tough out there.
It's the Burt Show.
This is the Burt Show.
When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait. Getting there starts here.
With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.